Hi, this is Anshu.
This is Emma.
Emma's roommate, and we're going to do our interview now. And Emma does consent to this being used in the project.
Yes, I do consent.
Perfect. All right. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Ellicott City, Maryland, which is 30 minutes west of Baltimore.
And what was your childhood like?
When I was a kid, I was very shy and very quiet and very much a rule follower. I spent most of my time reading books. I would read like 3 a week. I would read religiously. And I was definitely very creative, but I was definitely a bit of a loner.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I was just like really concerned of what other people thought of me and of like doing the right thing and like my image. And I also, since I was so quiet, I wasn't very good at making friends. So I had this one long-term best friend that I would spend all of my time with, and I didn't really have many friends outside of that.
Being so, did you enjoy school?
Yeah, I enjoyed school because I loved to read, and I think that set me up to love learning. I was always naturally really good at all school, and I just liked, I like to understand how things work, and I'm very curious, and I think you could see that as a small child. And I definitely really liked the validation from like my peers, my teachers, that I was smart, and it pushed me to work harder and like learning even more.
Perfect. And what kind of student were you?
I was the perfect student. I've still, to this day, never gotten a B in my life, so that tells you anything.
With that, with the sense of your accomplishments, how would you like to be remembered?
I definitely don't want to be remembered as, like, a perfect person, but I want to be remembered as someone who is open and outgoing and loving and empathetic, curious, wise, maybe, even though I don't always portray those characteristics.
So what does your future hold, ideally?
In terms of my career, I really want to be able to continue to be curious and learn. I'm very interested in math and data analytics and using those things to understand the way the world works and why things happen. So I'm a very meaning-driven person. I like to understand the meaning of the things that happen in my life. And outside of my career, I would say I definitely want to get married and like have a family, and the people around me are very important to me, and so I would definitely want to develop a strong community with my same beliefs and values that would like support me through whatever challenges I face.
And you're young now, but what do you think the meaning of life is at this point?
I mean, I couldn't talk about the meaning of life if I didn't talk about God, because I'm a Christian, and I think that my whole, I was created by God, I was designed a specific way, I have worth and value because of how I was designed, and because of the fact that God made me and called me beautiful and loved, and I think that he gave me a purpose, and I don't understand necessarily what my specific purpose is, but I know that the purpose of my, the purpose of life in general is to, you know, find that fulfillment through a relationship with God and glorify God through how you live your life.
And have you experienced any miracles?
Have I experienced any miracles? I don't know if I would say miracles, but I think that specific things in my life have happened that have like pointed towards God's existence. I think that everything that happens to me is very meaningful, and that God works everything for my good. So like no matter what bad things happen, I do look back on a lot of things and I'm so amazed and thankful at how they worked out and how I built relationships in my life, how things that I never expected to happen just happened. And I definitely would attribute all of that to God, and it's just, like, crazy, because you can't necessarily see it in the moment, but looking back, the way that so many things just happen at the perfect time, or all related to create this one perfect event in my life.
Right.
Like, it's very impactful.
Can you give me an example of one of those moments?
So, I think one of the most impactful is probably, had to do with this physics tutor that I had.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said before, I had never gotten a B in my life, and I had always been really good at math and science, and nothing in school had ever been a challenge for me, mm-hmm. and I kind of had been, like, asking God for a challenge, because I really wanted something to spark a passion, because I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So, I feel like, without really knowing what I asked for, I kind of asked God to, like, give me a challenge, give me something I was interested in, and physics was definitely a challenge. Like, I was failing tests, and that had never happened to me, and I never faced failure like that, so it was very scary for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so my parents pushed me to get a tutor, and I had always thought, like, tutors were for dumb kids. I was a smart kid, and I was like, how can I just, like, accept defeat like this?
Right.
And so I got this physics tutor, and his name was Mr. Siskind, and he was this old Jewish man with Parkinson's and terminal cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And just going to tutoring with him was incredible, because I not only learned more about physics, but it's like everything was fulfilled. I became passionate about something. I realized how physics and math can be used to explain the universe, which is exactly what I was so interested in, because I love understanding how things work. And also just talking with Mr. Siskind, like, it was like he was like my mentor. He taught me about so much about life beyond physics, and he was just so passionate. And I was his last student before he died, so he was in that stage of life where he was okay with everything that had happened, and he just wanted to live the rest of it to the fullest, and he had so many lessons to teach me, and he was so wise, and, you know, I just really felt like God wanted me to share about my faith with him, because he's Jewish, so, like, he believes in God, but he didn't believe in Jesus and, like, in my religion, you know. A relationship with Jesus is what allows you to go to heaven, and I don't know, I just didn't want to be the last, like, significant student in his life and pass up that opportunity to just share what I believed. And so I just talked about it with him, and we just had some really deep and meaningful conversations, and then I didn't see him for a while, and the next year I saw my physics teacher at school, and he basically said, you know, Mr. Siskind is dying. I went to visit him in the hospital, and he mentioned you. Out of all his students, he mentioned you, and mentioned the impact that you made on him, and he mentioned how he read the entire Bible because of the conversations that you guys had, and that was just so crazy to me, because it's like God used me to plant a seed in someone's heart. And, like, I never talked to Mr. Siskind after that again, because he ended up dying before I could talk to him. But it was just, I felt like I had been obedient to God, and God had rewarded me, and also, like, been able to use my obedience to affect someone else's life. And then I went to his funeral.
Yeah.
And in the funeral, like, part of it was a Bible verse, and it was from the New Testament, which is like a Christian Bible verse, because half of the Christian Bible is the Jewish Torah, but he chose a verse for his funeral from the Christian part of the Bible. So I was like, what does that mean? Does that mean that he's a Christian? Like, will I see him in heaven? Like, it was it's just this crazy, like, long relationship that had such an impact on me, helped me pick my major for college and probably the trajectory of my life, and also, like, just taught me so much about living and sharing my faith and all that. So it was definitely very impactful.
That's incredible. Well, you are a STEM major, right? Like, well, before. What is your major?
Well, yeah, so I'm an applied computational math major, and then my second major is CMDA, which is computational modeling and data analytics.
And when you speak about your religion and you speak about your major, historically there has been a, quote, war among science and religion. Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about the distinction or like the belief that it is incompatible? Like those two subjects are incompatible with each other, or beliefs are incompatible with each other. And how do you live day to day
with both of those beliefs? I want to understand things. I don't think I could put my faith in something that I didn't understand mm-hmm. or like really trust. And I think that for me, everything that I've learned in math and physics mm-hmm. has only pointed me back towards a creator mm-hmm. because it's so intricate and it's so perfect. And the more you understand about how the simplest equations can like explain gravity right. or the sun or like the distance between mm-hmm. the planets and like the way that solar systems are formed and the way that mathematical things show up in nature, like the symmetry of flowers and like mm-hmm. the golden ratio and mm-hmm. all these different things. There's no way that like all these different mathematical concepts and physical concepts just randomly mm-hmm. appeared so perfectly, because the law of chaos, like, usually things should devolve into chaos. There's no way in nature that things should come together to order. So I can't just believe that we just came from some random particles and happened to perfectly, you know, assemble into order. That doesn't happen in nature. Like, all the laws of nature point to things devolving into chaos. So why are we the one exception? Mm-hmm. Why would the world evolve from nothing? When has that ever happened before?
What would you say to non-believers?
I mean, like, I would explain what I believe, but mm-hmm. nothing that I can say will really, like, have that much of an impact unless the person decides to look into it for themselves mm-hmm. and pursue it themselves. I can't, like, change somebody's mind. I can only say what I think and then, you know, allow God to plant a seed and, like, do whatever he wants with that person's life.
And do you believe in the afterlife? If so, what do you think it will be like?
Yeah, for sure. I believe in heaven and mm-hmm. hell. And, you know, like, the Bible says that heaven is all things good, because heaven is being in the presence of God, and if God is everything good, then heaven will be perfect, mm-hmm. and hell is the absence of God. So if God is everything good and you're in the absence of all good, then right. I think it would be terrible. And, you know, I think that as soon as like judgment day comes or whatever, like every single human being will become so aware of the difference between being with God and being without God, and mm-hmm. that's what makes hell so terrible.
And when you meet God, what would you say to him?
I think that when I meet God, I will just be overwhelmed with praise and like with his glory, because mm-hmm. he's just like the fulfillment of every single need of my soul and every single want that I've ever had. And I think it'll just be like the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced.
What is the most important lesson you've learned, spiritual, religious, or not?
I think the most important lesson that I've learned is that, like, no matter how far I run or how badly I screw up or anything, God still wants me. He still mm-hmm. loves me, and he's still pursuing me no matter what.
Right. And what were your hardest moments growing up or in life in general?
I don't have a great relationship with my parents, mm-hmm. so being at home is just not the best for me.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't want anyone else to be my parents, mm-hmm. but our family is just very emotionally closed off.
Right.
And I don't know, I just have to be very defensive and slightly manipulative to, mm-hmm. Keep the peace and get what I want, and it's just like very unhealthy.
Right. And who are your parents?
My parents are Meg and Anthony. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how to describe them. Mm-hmm. My dad's Italian. And so is my mom, but kind of less. So they're just definitely very loud and have grown up in similarly argumentative families. Right. So it's kind of like the family legacy not to be very emotionally like open or supportive.
Do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I have one younger sister, Hannah.
And what was she like growing up?
She's definitely the funny one. She, well, I mean, at least growing up, she was super outgoing. She was the opposite of me.
Right.
And everybody loves her, and I was super close to her.
Right.
I would spend all my time with her, and she's just always super fun to be around. But I feel like kind of the roles have switched now, because she's more of like the quiet, reserved one, and I'm the outgoing one who likes to be around a lot of people.
What do you think made that change?
I think every girl just goes through that like moody teenager phase, and she's still in it.
All right. And who are your best friends? What are they like?
So I would say that I have a few close best friends. My one best friend, Claire, she has a very unique personality. She is super welcoming and outgoing and loves to be around people and is very giving, but also strong-willed. Like, her kindness doesn't allow her to be walked all over. She definitely knows who she is and what she wants, and because she's secure in that, it allows her to be so open and giving to other people.
What did you think your life would be when you were younger?
Well, I actually started playing piano when I was 5, and then I started playing violin and viola in 3rd grade, and I played music so much that everybody in my life thought I would, like, be a musician, and I thought I would at least teach private lessons or keep doing it for my whole life, but then I got some, like, chronic wrist pain issues, and I had to severely cut back on my playing, and I don't know, after doing it competitively for so many years, it became more stressful and painful than relaxing and fun. And so this past year, especially with Corona and going to college, I stopped being in any type of organized orchestra or anything like that at all. But I have started to pick up guitar, and I still play piano, but it's kind of nicer now because I really just do it to relax, even though my technique has definitely gone downhill.
All right. Do you believe in love at first sight?
No. I think personality is much more important than sight.
And what lessons have you learned from your past relationships or?
I just think that I'm extremely emotionally unavailable, and I can only be with the person that I'm meant to be with and no one else. I have a very long-term view of relationships.
Yeah.
And if I know that it's not going to last forever, I can't really put that much effort into it.
All right. How would you describe our relationships?
I think our relationship is very good because we're both independent and we have a lot of time to be by ourselves, and we're not on top of each other, but at the same time we're very comfortable with each other, so we can talk about our deeper thoughts and feelings when we want to, but at the same time just be quiet and like do our own thing without really keeping tabs on each other.
What is your first memory of me?
My first memory of you is probably when you moved in and you brought your huge family.
Oh my god.
And everyone was just loud everywhere. And it reminded me of, like, my best friend's family, which was really good because I was like, like, she already reminds me of friends at home, so
comfortable. How would you describe me? And second part, how would you describe yourself?
I would describe you as very independent and driven. You definitely put your personal goals for how you want your life to be above a lot of other things, even though you're still super social and outgoing and nice. You don't have a lot of close friends because not a lot of people understand your drive. and you're also very spiritual and just look at life through a very deep and meaningful lens. And I would say for me, I think that I'm less driven and more people oriented, but I still look at life through that deep and meaningful lens. And I'm very curious and I like to learn, but I don't pursue opportunity as much as you do.
If you could interview anyone from your life, living or dead, who would it be and why?
I think that I would just have one last conversation with Mr. Siskin, because this thing that I do is when my life is changing or someone's dying or like there's some shift in my relationships, I tend to just like cut people off and like move on. And I definitely did that with Mr. Siskin because I just didn't know how our relationship was supposed to look while he was dying. I just felt like I wasn't that significant in his life. And so I didn't really talk to him, but I definitely regret that. And I just, I don't know, I just wonder like what we would have said to each other if we kept talking. And I did actually send him a letter, but I don't know if he ever got it because he never responded. And then he died like a week later.
What do you think your best trait is?
I think my best trait, I think my perspective on like how I view the world is probably my best trait, because I just, I don't know, I feel like I search for meaning in everything that I do, and I think that like my actions and how I speak to people, my interactions and everything that happens is really important, and I try to like act as such.
What do you think your worst trait is?
I think my worst trait is that I get paralyzed by like a fear of failure, because I never know like what the right decision is, and then I end up doing nothing, and then I'm so like hyper aware, as I said before, of like the time that I spend and like what I'm doing and like whether I'm doing something that's meaningful, that it like makes it even worse.
Can you remember a time in your life you felt the most alone?
Honestly, I can't. I think that like I just forget large chunks of my life, and I feel like that's something that I would make myself forget.
As a kid, did you ever get in trouble, and what was the worst thing you did?
I rarely got in trouble outside of my family. I definitely like backtalked my mom a lot, but the most like scarring thing that I got in trouble for at school was this one time. I don't even know how I remember this, because I was actually 5 years old, but I definitely remember it. I was like in preschool in the sandbox with this kid, and for some reason like I got annoyed at him or he just stole something from me, and I took this little shovel and like flicked like sand into his face, and his mom went ballistic
and
took him to the doctors and like yelled at my mom for how much of a bad child I was and like all this stuff, and like my mom felt super guilty because she definitely has this like guilt complex, and so she bought a Superman doll and made me go to school and give this rude boy a Superman doll because I flicked sand in his eyes, and his bitch mother was just so concerned about it, and it was so scarring because it was literally just her projecting her embarrassment onto me and forcing me to do something that was very extra and uncomfortable, because what 5-year-old child should be reprimanded that hard for something that insignificant?
Looking back, what advice would you give your freshman year self in high school?
I would definitely tell myself not care what other people thought of me, because I definitely still like had the mindset of trying to fit in with like a certain crowd, and I just was not wanted, and I don't know why I wasted so much time hanging out with people that I didn't like and that didn't like me.
How would your classmates remember you?
Definitely as like the smart one, but at the same time I just put in the minimal amount of effort Like, I didn't study for tests. I didn't wear nice clothes. I would sleep in class a lot. And I feel like a lot of the times, like, if people didn't know me, they didn't realize I was smart. But then if I was like, yeah, I got 100 on the last 10 assignments, they would be like, what?
Was there a time when you didn't like me?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't really have anything to hold against you.
Right. Do you have any regrets in life?
I definitely regret having a bad relationship with my mom. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm still kind of bitter about it because I think that she should be the leader in creating a better relationship, and she just
does not
do that.
Is there anything you've always wanted to tell me but have not?
I don't think so. I think I'm a pretty open book. Like, right. I feel like we've had a lot of deep conversations that have gone beyond the scope of this interview.
They really have. When was the last time you cried and why, if you're comfortable answering this?
The last time I cried was, like, 3 hours ago because I watched this TikTok. No, it wasn't, like, a mental breakdown.
Okay.
It was just a little cry. Because I watched this TikTok about this person who, decided to become a Christian in January and then made this huge lifestyle change that I don't think I would ever have the strength to make even after being a Christian for years and years and years. And I was just like, wow, like, what, why am I living in a way that I don't think is right, and I am having such a hard time changing it? If this person can become a Christian and start changing it in a matter of weeks.
For future generations of your family listening to this from now, is there any wisdom you'd like to pass on to them? What would you want them to know?
I think that they should not waste time living in a way that is easy when, if they know that a harder way is more fulfilling.
What do you think stops you from living the life you want?
Comfort. I think it's so, like, it's hard to do what's right when you can do what's easy. And true. When you've been living a certain way for a while, or if your friends are influencing you, like, there's, I'm sure you've heard it before, iron sharpens iron. And I just don't have a lot of friends that are made of iron. And so I feel like I am very easily influenced by my desire to, like, be accepted and feel loved when I could have those things from God.
What do you think must happen to your life to change that? If you can even answer that question.
I think that I just have to stop avoiding, like, doing the right thing. Like, I definitely just distract myself. And I don't know. I always have, like, struggled with, like, what does it look like to live a life that shows that I'm following God? And maybe I just am too focused on doing the right thing, because in the end, God, like, my salvation is not based on how I live my life, because at the end of the day, I will never be able to live my life to God's standards. It's based on the fact that Jesus sacrificed his life so that I could be with God in eternity, and he paid the price for me living my life wrong. So I don't know, I either need to, like, be more aware of that and accept the fact that I'm not in control of my life and that I can't live it correctly, or I need to just be more obedient.
Which one would bring you the most happiness, you think?
I just think that I need to study the Bible more and figure out what is wrong, because at the moment I am just, I don't know, I just feel like I have questions mm-hmm. that I'm avoiding
mm-hmm.
because I don't have any, there's no other, I don't know any other Christians here to yeah. like ask my questions.
True.
So I'm really just like going blindly and trying to look for answers, but and then other people will like ask me about my faith, and it's just like the blind leading the blind, I feel like. But I don't know, I feel mm-hmm. like I have to keep pursuing the truth, because like in the end I don't really need anyone else but God.
True. So ideally, where will you be in 10 years? Like, very ideal.
Married with mm-hmm. the job that I'm passionate about mm-hmm. with kids, maybe
hmm.
and a better relationship with my parents.
Right. What were your grandparents like?
On my dad's side, my grandpa was an abusive alcoholic, and my grandma was anxious.
Mm-hmm.
On my mom's side, my grandpa was an absent father, and my grandma was controlling.
Wonderful. Do you ever think about your previous lovers?
I don't have any lovers because I didn't love them. That's a good answer. I don't think I'll love anybody except for the person that I'm supposed to be
supposed to love. You're right. Do you have any favorite stories from your childhood?
Well, it's funny because when I was little,
mm-hmm.
my parents never forced me to be a Christian, but
mm-hmm.
they taught me about God
mm-hmm.
and allowed me to make my own decision mm-hmm. about whether I wanted to be a Christian or not.
Yeah.
And so one of, like, the lessons that I remember, like, learning about God, is, like, about, like, miracles and how he's, like, watching out for me. And so I had this tiny little like Jasmine toy, maybe like
mm-hmm.
the size of like my knuckle. It yeah. was like a super tiny little doll
mm-hmm.
and I went to a playground and I lost it. So, and it was like in like wood chips. There was mm-hmm. no way I should ever find this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sat in the car with the rest of my family, and then my dad went to go look for it
mm-hmm.
and he found it and came back, and he was like I don't know, just kind of, like, used it as an example of, like, God providing even though you think things are impossible. And, right. like, ever since then, like, we've called that little doll, like, Miracle Aww, Jasmine.
It's wonderful.
And I've kept it in my room to, like, remember, like, that God will provide for me.
Amazing. What do you feel the most grateful in your life? For in your life?
I think that I'm probably most grateful for my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just, like, shaped my personality and, I don't know, showed me unconditional love and just helped me, like, be aware of how beautiful the world is.
If this was our very last conversation, is there anything you'd like to say to me?
I don't think that there's anything that I've left unsaid. Like, I feel like you know my beliefs about
mm-hmm.
the world. You know that, like, I support you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like we've had a lot of conversations about, like, the way that we think life should be.
How would you be as a mother?
I don't know. I feel like I'm already turning into my mom, which is a disaster.
Uh-huh.
And I just think that I don't have a lot of patience.
Why do you feel that way?
Because I just don't have a lot of patience. Uh-huh. Like, if I hear somebody, like, sometimes, like, you'll be chewing, and I can hear you chewing, and I have to put on my headphones because I'm actually going to scream.
But no, it's but not that's because, like, it's no, not. No, but that's because I'd be chewing eyes. That's true.
But it's not even because of anything personally to do with you, right, which is why, right. like, it's not like I'm angry at you. It's just no, like, I'm just, like, a little OCD about things. And mm-hmm. if my child did something that would annoy me, I would actually snap. There's no way I would be like, okay, sweetie, can you stop doing that now, please? There's no way.
Would you like to change that about yourself?
Oh, yeah. I would definitely like to be, like, one of those, like, sweet, loving moms who uses things as teaching moments and is, like, emotionally healthy, but I just feel like I'm not like that.
How would you like your husband to be like?
I definitely want to have the same beliefs about the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I would want him to be ambitious and loving and curious mm-hmm. and passionate about life and his interests mm-hmm. and, I don't know, just show me and my family, like, unconditional love mm-hmm. and put us first and be sacrificial and, like, all the things that you should be.
Is faith an important aspect in your future relationship?
Yeah, there's no way it could ever mm-hmm. be with somebody who's not a Christian. Because it's like, I mean, under the assumption that you believe what I believe, mm-hmm. why would I want to marry somebody that I couldn't spend eternity with? Like,
mm-hmm.
thinking about how short life is compared to right. eternity, why would I ever, like, choose that person, forsake everybody else, only to never be able to be with them?
You say your parents never forced you to be religious, right? Mm-hmm. Why do you think you decided to go this path on your own, essentially?
I think that the fact that I was, like, a loner
mm-hmm.
as a kid, and I would just, like, think so deeply about mm-hmm. things, I would just, like, pray a lot. Like, mm-hmm. God was, like, my friend.
Right.
Like, I didn't really have anybody, and I felt that I had God, and everything that I learned about resonated with me, and it just seems like God is the fulfillment of every single one of my innate mm-hmm. desires for, like, meaning, love, justice.
Right.
Like, all of that is fulfilled by God.
Are your friends religious? Best friends?
Claire is, mm-hmm. but most of my best friends actually aren't. I think it's because even though I'm a Christian mm-hmm. and, like, that's one of the most important things in my life, at the end of the day, I'm a curious person, and I value diversity, mm-hmm. and I just want to, like, be exposed to a lot of different types of people.
Right.
Because I just want to experience as much of the world as possible and, like, understand why things are the way they are, and I feel like I'm called to love people who, no matter who they are, so mm-hmm. the fact that they don't have the same beliefs as me, like, doesn't stop me from loving them, even though sometimes, like, the fact that they don't have the same beliefs influences mm-hmm. me to do things that I wouldn't do because, like, they think it's fun and I don't think it's fun.
Hmm. How would your friends describe you?
My friends would describe me as probably, like, a good listener, easy to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say wise, but I feel like I'm not very wise, mm-hmm. but I just, like, give off the persona that I do, like, because I just think about things deeply mm-hmm. and spend too much time thinking, and then mm-hmm. other people are like, why are you even talking about this right now? And I also think that they would describe me as, like, weird, though, because I definitely, like, I don't know, I used to care what people thought of me more, but yeah. I don't really care, like, how people, like, perceive me or, like, how I act or dress and stuff like that.
How would your parents describe you?
I think my parents would describe me as, like, smart and wise as well, maybe. Mm-hmm. Funny.
Mm-hmm.
But they would also describe me as, like, moody and lazy.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that?
I do to a degree, but I feel like also sometimes my mom will, like, mm-hmm. especially will describe me in negative ways
yeah.
because she's just, like, projecting her anxiety that I'm gonna
right.
turn into, like, a bad person or, like, fail and shit and mm-hmm. it'll, like, be up to her to save me or I don't know. She mm-hmm. also just likes to hurl insults at me
mm-hmm.
just to be hurtful because she's angry. So I really just take everything that she says about me with a grain of salt.
If you had the chance, would you change your mother?
Would I pick a different person? No.
Change her personality.
I mean, I would definitely send her to therapy. And the other thing is, like, I don't think that she's always been this way, but she had cancer, so she had, like, a bunch of hormonal treatments that definitely changed her personality. And so she knows it, too, but she doesn't really, like, attempt to change the way that she is.
Yeah.
And so she's just kind of, like, I don't know, I can't really hold it against her, but at the same time, I do hold it against her because she shouldn't act like a child, and if she is acting way that's having a negative effect on our family, then she's responsible for fixing it.
How are you different than your mother?
I don't know. I feel like I've adopted a lot of her traits to get back at her because, or to, like, protect myself. But I think at the end of the day, I'm way less anxious than her. She definitely has some form of anxiety, which causes, like, anger and, like, just her to freak out about the most small things. I've definitely developed the I don't care, go with the flow attitude. Even though I do care, obviously I care. I wouldn't have gotten an A in every single class I've ever taken in my entire life if I didn't care.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, whatever happens, happens. And, like, I'm obviously going to do my best, but at the end of the day, I'm not in control of my life. So, like, even if I fail, it's not the end of the world.
Okay, speaking of, then how are you similar to your mother?
I definitely am impatient. Like, I'm good at arguing. I'm good at thinking of comebacks and, like, getting what I want, which is definitely a response to her, like, being angry about stuff. And, I could just be more tolerant, I feel like.
How are you similar to your father?
I'm curious, and I like to learn, and I am more laid back. Like, he's very laid back. He's definitely the mediator and the peacekeeper in our family. Even though he gets his own anxieties, like, he definitely just tries to keep everyone calm, and I feel like I am a generally calm person, especially around my friends. Like, I never would project, like, the exterior that I have around my mom or my friends. Like, I don't think anyone would even recognize me.
And how are you different than your father?
My dad is definitely, like, a dreamer. He's very cynical about things, but at the same time, like, he just has so many ideas, and he's so creative, and, like, he was a writing major in college, and he loves to just, like, think about stories in different worlds and, like, the way things could be and find solutions to problems. And I just find that really hard. Like, I like being creative in terms of art and music, but, like, thinking of concepts like that is very difficult for me. Especially just, even just, like, writing my college essays was really hard.
All right. Is there anything else you would like to say to me?
I don't think so.
All right. Perfect. We're done.
Dude, how many...